Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. And you know, it was almost exactly to the day a year ago that a good friend of mine, Randy Teat, died of pancreatic cancer. October 25th, to be exact. And I thought it was a perfect time to be talking about pancreatic cancer. This is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, and we have two great guests for you today to talk about it. Dr. Noel LeConte, medical oncologist at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center and an associate professor at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. LeConte, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Great to have you here. And also Dr. Michael Bassetti, radiation oncologist at the UW-Carbone Cancer Center. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Human Oncology at UW School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Michael Bassetti, thank you for joining us as well.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to be talking about pancreatic cancer and certainly looking forward to hearing from you. Your questions, maybe your experiences. We already have a caller online, Jessica, but there's a line for you, and the number to call is 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. Love to hear from you. The statistics on pancreatic cancer are not good. It accounts for about 3% of all cancers in the U.S., and I think about 7% of all deaths. Isn't that true, Dr. LeConte?
Yep.
Why is this type of cancer so difficult to fight?
Do you want to take that first, Mike? Or?
Mike, do you want to take
that? Sure. I'll give you the easy question.
Dr. Michael Bassetti?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is a type of cancer that often doesn't present until it's spread from its area of origin. And it, while it is responsive to some treatments, it's not as responsive as some of our other cancer subtypes. So usually it presents with sort of nebulous symptoms until it's very severe and causing obstruction and more severe symptoms. And it's actually less common that patients are diagnosed with disease that is actually in a localized area that can be surgically resected, which is currently our only known potential curative treatment. And even those patients that undergo surgery, the majority of them are not cured by that surgery. So it's a really difficult type of cancer to fight.
And I'm sure I can say this about Randy. He was feeling just fine, went in for a physical, and here he is in stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, it's not a cancer we screen for currently. Patients, when they have symptoms, it can be fairly advanced. It can be a subtle presentation.
What's the role of the pancreas in our bodies?
The pancreas does two things. It secretes hormones to help us digest our food and other hormones to help us bring the sugar from our food into our cells.
Yeah. And what happens when cancer forms there?
What symptoms do patients have? They might have abdominal pain. They might turn yellow, which is called jaundice. They might notice their stools get really light in color. They might have weight loss without an explanation.
And is there just one type of pancreatic cancer? My understanding is there are many.
There are definitely multiple types. And the most common is a type of cancer that arises from the tubes or the ducts that secrete the digestive enzymes from the pancreas, ductal cancer. And then there's also a less common, but also a cancer that we see reasonably commonly at the university is arising from the neuroendocrine cells of the pancreas.
So it's not the kind of cancer you want to be diagnosed with.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. Jessica Waterford has something that I think needs to be talked about here. Let's go there. Hi, Jessica. Thanks for waiting.
No problem. Hi. My question is my mom has two sisters. Both were diagnosed and then subsequently died from pancreatic cancer. And I was wondering two questions. One, is there anything that other family members can do to reduce the risk of the other family members getting it? And the second question is, what type of tests should we do periodically to make sure that this isn't a current problem since it doesn't show up right away?
Yeah.
Symptom-wise.
Yep.
And is there a, there must be, is there a genetic component to it just to start with and then to go from there?
Yep. So I'm just pulling it up here on my Twitter account. So we just did a tweet chat about this. So there's 13 known genes with increased risk of pancreas cancer. Okay. The most common are the BRCA genes, which are also called the breast cancer genes. That's what Angelina Jolie has. There's also an entity just of familial pancreatic cancer where we can't identify the gene, but we see, like the caller's talking about, multiple family members across multiple generations. It's worth talking to your primary care doctor if you can get referred to a high-risk genetics clinic. We have one at the UW. Medical College of Wisconsin also has one. They can talk to you about what x-rays should be done. As far as the prevention question, exercise, not smoking, not drinking heavily, and maintaining a healthy weight can all help reduce your risk of pancreas cancer.
Okay. All and right. You said that there's tests like x-rays and stuff that should be periodically done to make sure that it has developed?
So the two tests that are currently being utilized most often are an abdominal MRI scan or an abdominal ultrasound called an endoscopic ultrasound, where they do it through a scope that's put into your stomach.
Okay, so so it's an ultrasound through a scope. It's not just a regular abdominal ultrasound.
Right, right.
Okay, because my mother currently has some liver and gallbladder issues, and we're currently going to see a GI. So I should maybe ask for an ultrasound, an endoscopic ultrasound, is it? Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
that's
you're welcome.
Helpful.
Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, as we talk pancreatic cancer with our two guests, Dr. Michael Bassetti and Dr. Noel LeConte. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Have you been affected by pancreatic cancer? What would you like to know about the disease? Give a call. Contact us. Bill in La Crosse, let's go to you next. Hi, Bill.
Oh, thank you. I'm a pancreatic cancer survivor so far. I had the Whipple operation back in 11 years ago, and I also went, I had that locally, and then I went to Johns Hopkins for about nine years. On a clinical trial for pancreatic cancer. So I've had a lot of attention on it, but I still have problems after all of this. And the problems are primarily GI problems. And I'm wondering if anything can be done to help those which involves stomach pain and malabsorption,
that sort of thing. Yeah. Let's see. Let's go to Michael, Dr. Michael Bassetti. We'll start with you.
Yeah. So first off, congratulations, Bill. It's always nice to hear of patients who have undergone surgery and have made it without a disease recurrence out to the length that you have. So that's fantastic. So obviously I'm not a surgeon, and Noel can probably have a lot of input on these patients as well, but certainly some of the enzymes, I'm assuming you take pancreatic enzyme supplementation, sometimes adjusting levels of that can have effects. There are other medications that sometimes can help with stomach issues. But it really is sort of a chronic issue for many patients after surgery, dealing with the after effects of the operation. And it's not you underwent a pretty major operation.
What is that Whipple operation?
Yeah, it's an operation where they, essentially it's usually for patients who have pancreatic cancer at the head of the pancreas. And they take out some of the bowel that surrounds the pancreas, the gallbladder, often the very beginnings of the stomach. Sometimes they spare the sphincter in the stomach. But it takes out sort of the cancer as one large piece with all the tissue that surrounds it, which includes those organs I mentioned. And then they sort of piece the bowel back together afterwards.
And the trials, Bill mentioned a trial at Johns Hopkins. There are always There are many trials going on, are there not?
Yep. Yep. So the way that we're going to make progress on this cancer is with trials and research, basic science and clinical trials. And so we always try to have lots and lots of options for patients, both community patients and then patients who can be treated at larger academic centers. Hopkins is one of the leaders in this, and so it's wonderful if patients can travel, but if they can't, we've got lots of options here too.
Bill, I hope that helps. There sounds like you need, at least there's an opportunity to do some adjusting, right?
Well, and a dietitian can be extremely helpful here, Bill. I would put a plug in to maybe meet with a dietitian locally. They can really, really help with the digestive issues. And then PanCAN, which is an advocacy organization, has a cookbook, which has been really helpful for a lot of my patients with these same issues.
So PanCAN is the name of the organization. I wonder if we have that up. We have that up on our Facebook page yet, Jill?
Yeah, you do.
What was the name of that again?
PanCAN, PanCAN.
Oh, I've had that. I've seen that before.
Yeah.
So the recipe book or the cookbook, you can mm-hmm. get that from them. Is mm-hmm. it free or is it?
I think it's free.
It's
for
free.
For patients, yep.
So there you go. That's something. That's a start for you, Bill. Thank you so much for calling and good luck. Appreciate it. And here he is, 10 years out, or 10 years out. That is
amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. It's an amazing. Because what's the average?
So for patients with stage 4 disease, the average survival is just over a year. For patients with stage 1 disease, we cure about. The latest numbers I've seen were about 25% of those patients who can have surgery. So even with the earliest stage pancreas cancer, most patients have it come back and most die from the cancer.
Yeah. Bill, good luck. Thank you again for calling. Clyde in Toma, we'll go to you next. Hi, Clyde. Thanks for calling.
Well, you're quite welcome, and good morning to everybody there. My sister was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 3.5 years ago this last December. And I want to say something that might not shock anybody, but I want you to really think about this. Everybody talks about salt, you know, and how bad it is if you use too much salt. But the real elephant in the room, and has been for years, is sugar. We are addicted as a society. I am not. But we are addicted to sugar in every way, shape, and form that you can imagine. She finally passed away December 27th of this last year. With it, and she lasted 3.5 years once she was diagnosed. I met a man when she was going in for her tumor markers and scans. I met a man who lived without a pancreas, who'd been living without one for 5 years. If you have pancreatic cancer and you are operated on and they get all of it and it doesn't get into the lymph nodes, you have a chance. But you're better off getting rid of your pancreas and being on a high regimen of insulin than you are taking the chemo, because the chemo takes away your good cells and you have no chance of fighting it then. But sugar, we need to take sugar off the market. It is terrible.
All right, well, here you raised some issues here. I want to ask our doctors here to what extent they agree with and or maybe disagree with the comments that you had. And Dr. Bassetti, I'll turn to you. You're a radiation oncologist, so what have you got to say?
Yeah, so you raised a couple of points. First off, is there a connection between excess sugar and pancreatic cancer? And then also whether to take chemotherapy is another issue, and what are the potential benefits of that? You know, we all need sugar to survive, and our body regulates our sugar levels very, very tightly. That's part of the function of the pancreatic islet cells, actually, that secrete the insulin that many people with diabetes need to make certain that they can continue to live and provide their cells with sugar. It's a very common question: is excess sugar bad for me, or if I have cancer, should I avoid sugar? To my knowledge, there's no known correlation in terms of sugar. There is some connections with obesity and those types of things. That may be indirectly oriented to caloric intake in terms of sugar, but I don't know any direct evidence that excess sugar connects with risk of developing pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, the only data that I'm aware of is there is some information about high carbohydrate diet being bad for colorectal cancer development in patients who are overweight or obese. sugar being an easy way to get up to high carbohydrate levels. So if you avoid sugar, you're more likely to stay below those limits. But I agree with what Mike said. But it would be hard to do a randomized trial where we told half the people to eat sugar and half not to. As the caller said, there's lots of sugar in lots of different places that are hard to avoid.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, what about removing the pancreas? You can survive without a pancreas?
Yeah, you can. We try not to do a total pancreatectomy, which is what that surgery is called, if we don't have to, but you can survive. You become dependent on the insulin and then the digestive enzymes by mouth for the remainder of your life. But it's pretty rare patient these days that we have to do that. We usually can take out one side or the other, but it is a surgery that sometimes is done.
Okay. Thanks again, Clyde, for calling. Appreciate your call. Visiting today with Dr. Noel LeConte and Dr. Michael Bassetti from the UW Carbone Cancer Center talking pancreatic cancer. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nador, on-air producer, here on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're visiting about pancreatic cancer. This is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month, and great to have Michael Bassetti, Dr. Michael Bassetti, Dr. Noel LeConte from the UW Carbone Cancer Center with us today. And lots of callers online, so I think we'll just go right back to the phones, find out what's on Jesse's mind from Appleton. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I was just calling in. I was wondering about the Sinovac vaccine. That's they're using it in Puerto Rico, and I think it was scheduled for FDA trials and United States. So I'm not sure if your oncologist or doctors know or have heard any information about it.
And you said Sinovac?
Yes.
Sinovac, okay.
So I've heard a little bit about that vaccine. I've not personally used it in patients. We have run several vaccine trials for pancreas cancer. They've all been negative, meaning they were not found to be helpful. But vaccination is a very active area of interest for scientists and researchers in this cancer. The problem is that a lot of times pancreas cancer grows walls around itself called desmoplasia, and we can't get immune cells or chemotherapy or other things to the tumor, right? So vaccines are probably going to be best used either after surgery to prevent recurrence or as a preventive strategy before diagnosis.
Oh, yeah. So Dr. Bassetti, you were going to add
to that? I was just going to say that this, not only vaccines, but immune therapy in general is a very hot topic in pancreatic cancer, and not only pancreatic cancer, but across all subsites of cancer these days, as there's been some success with what are called immune checkpoint inhibitors and other disease sites. So far, that hasn't really translated into pancreatic cancer, and for some of the reasons that Dr. LeConte mentioned, but it definitely is one of the most interesting and most aggressively studied areas right now, whether we can provoke an immune response against pancreatic cancer as another avenue besides radiation, chemotherapy, and surgery to target the cancer.
Thanks again, Jesse, for calling. Jordan, it's your turn. Hi, and Stevens Point.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What can we do for you?
My question is kind of more to elaborate on some points that were made earlier.
Okay.
Type 1 diabetes runs genetically in my family, so the pancreas is kind of a buzzword that kind of made me want to call in today. And I was curious, from the doctor's perspective, is there any type of correlation or causation that links type 1 diabetes or other forms of diabetes to pancreatic cancer?
I'll take this one, Jordan, because I'm a type 1 diabetic, and so I spend a lot of time thinking about this question. What we know is that there is some association in population studies of diabetes and pancreas cancer. It looks like it's type 2, not type 1. But the tumor in the pancreas may provoke diabetes, and so it's very difficult to understand, did the diabetes cause the cancer, or did the cancer cause the diabetes? Most of the recent studies I've seen have not really made me think that diabetes in itself is the risk factor for pancreas cancer. It's probably just a red herring.
There we go. Terry and Roberts emailed to ask if organ transplantation is ever used for pancreatic cancer.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I'm not completely up on this research, but I know that there is some interest, particularly in what was raised earlier when you remove the entire pancreas, of whether pancreatic islet cell transplantations or even sort of engineered pancreas can be implanted essentially back into patients. It's not something that I know is currently done from in terms of the whole organ, but I know there is some interest in being able to implant islet cells with sort of a protective scaffold around it. I don't know if, Noelle, you have
any... and then in that pancreatic neuroendocrine tumor, that more slow-growing pancreas cancer, much more rare, we do transplant those patients, usually liver transplants on occasion. That's what Steve Jobs had, and he got a liver transplant. But it wouldn't be routine. This would be kind of... off the beaten path.
Off the beaten path. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks again, Jordan. Fawn in Madison, your turn now. Hi, Fawn.
Hi. So speaking of off the beaten path, I wanted to mention a treatment for pancreatic and various other cancers that I recently learned about. It's low-dose naltrexone. Naltrexone is usually used to treat opiate addicts, but in its very low-dose form, it's off-label and it's off-patent, by the way, too, so it's not expensive, and nobody's really looking into researching it. Not nobody, but there are very few studies because it can't make a profit off something that's off-patent. But it has shown great promise in treating immune-compromised individuals, and also it stimulates the immune system in such a way that seems to beat cancers. I've read a peer-reviewed paper talking about how the treatment of low-dose naltrexone and combined with some other drug or something caused a patient that had terminal cancer, pancreatic cancer, to go into remission. I think two of them did that. And so that was just very intriguing and exciting to me anyway.
Yeah. Are you familiar with naltrexone? Is that the correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the correct name. I'm familiar with the drug. I'm not familiar with its use in pancreatic cancer. I don't know if you've come across that.
I mean, patients bring it up now and again. To my eye, as a doctor, I haven't seen a lot of strong data to support it, but I agree with Fawn that it's interesting and intriguing and deserves further exploration with trials and whatnot.
So there may be some trials. I mean, it's one of those things that if it's off...
Well, this is the story of cancer is anecdotal data that looks really, really good. And then when we do the study, it doesn't pan out. In pancreas cancer, and I'm not saying naltrexone won't pan out, but in pancreas cancer, I think there was 37 negative trials before there was a positive trial of the chemotherapy. It's just a very difficult cancer to study. It's a very difficult cancer to model in the labs. And then I would caution anybody to take single patient stories and assume that that means we can treat everybody with it. Mike and I were just talking on the way up that we both have patients that have done well beyond what is expected, 5-7 year survivors who should only be alive a year. So that's why we do these clinical trials to really conclude.
And there are some famous folks out there. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I believe, is one person who beat it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm not sure exactly what treatments she went through, but she beat it, and there are some others as well.
Well, Patrick Swayze would be the most famous. He's unfortunately, he passed away from it. His widow, Lisa, is quite active in the PanCan and the advocacy community.
Hmm. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Fun, thanks very much. Appreciate your call. I want to give Mark in Plymouth a chance to join us. Mark, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I had a question. I'm a recovering alcoholic. We've been sober for almost three and a half years. Didn't sober up until I was 56, and I was a very heavy drinker who eventually ended up in the hospital a few times, and the most recent time was pancreatitis, which was, I think, my bottom. I'm hopeful it was my bottom. Anyway, have I increased my chance? I mean, I was in intensive care for about 4 or 5 days. Have I increased my chance for pancreatic cancer or other problems with my pancreas? Certainly, for whatever reason, my liver came out of it okay.
Oh.
Yeah, they've tested my liver, and everything's okay with that. So I can't quite figure that out. Just maybe lady luck.
Yeah. Hats off to you, Mark, for sobriety. That's amazing accomplishment. Yes, there is an association with pancreatitis and pancreas cancer. The most serious association is with a condition called hereditary pancreatitis, meaning you inherit a gene from your parents that causes you to develop inflammation in the pancreas. But patients who've had pancreatitis for any other reason, alcohol being a common cause, are at increased risk, and it would be worth talking to your doctors about whether a screening program for pancreas cancer makes sense for you. Screening for a general population doesn't make sense at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in Mark's case...
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah, worth a call to your doctor.
Yep, for sure.
Mark, for sure. And my congratulations as well. That's wonderful. 3.5 years, total sobriety. You can join in, too, by the way. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Open lines get you on pretty quickly here as we talk pancreatic cancer with our two guests, Dr. Michael Bassetti and Dr. Noel LeConte from the UW Carbone Cancer Center. Let's go to Pam in Fond du Lac next. Pam, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. My husband survived 21 years, having had 8 melanomas, but he died within 4 months after he was diagnosed with disseminated metastatic pancreatic cancer in October last year. You know, we just didn't have that on our radar, that there's a correlation in patients who have recurrent melanomas and development of pancreatic cancer. He was tested, and none of the known genes showed up on the panel, but there's some genes they haven't actually firmly identified yet, and we won't know if he ever does, if those genes ever are identified, I guess. So I just thought for other people, maybe you want to speak a little bit about that yeah. connection.
Pam, thanks very much. Good to bring that up. Dr. LeConte?
Yeah, it's a known association. There is a condition called familial atypical multiple mole melanoma, where those patients do have quite a bit higher risk of pancreas cancer, and again, would be a population we would consider screening in for this cancer because it does present so late. The caller's absolutely right that even if you don't test positive for that gene, having multiple melanomas would be a reason to think about your pancreas cancer risk.
Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing that up, Pam.
Thank you all for your good work.
Yeah, thank you very much. What are the available treatments, just basically what do we have out there?
Yeah, so for the most part, the available treatments involve a sort of multimodality treatments with chemotherapy and multiple chemotherapies together. Radiation therapy, which means x-rays directed at the tumor. And then surgery. And by far, those make up the bulk of what we use in terms of cancer treatment for pancreatic cancer patients, as well as for other cancer types.
And there are all kinds of trial testing, different things that are done, Dr. LeConte.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's been a lot of gloom and doom here, but just in the last few years as I've been doing this work, we have doubled the survival for pancreas cancer. Now doubling it when it starts at 4% and is now at 8% maybe isn't as big of an achievement as going from 20% to 40%, but at least we're moving in the right direction. And the chemotherapy trials, after being negative for so long, are positive. We're actually helping people. We're helping people, more people be cured. We're helping people live longer and make it to life events. So I do feel like we're starting to move the needle on this, but what we need is more research, more funding. It's as simple as that.
Yeah. What does the chemotherapy actually do? What is it?
So chemotherapy is a broad term for cancer-fighting medications. They can be intravenous or oral. In the case of pancreas cancer, they're almost all intravenous.
Yeah.
And also in the case of pancreas cancer, targeted therapy, these so-called smart drugs that work on certain mutations or proteins in the cancer cell, haven't been very effective. So we use old-fashioned chemotherapy that's just absorbed by all multiplying cells. In the case of cancer, your cancer cells tend to multiply faster than the rest of your cells.
Let's go to Scott in Kenosha next. Scott, hi. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I just have a question. Diabetes comes from the pancreas. Could you get a transplant with a new pancreas, and would the diabetes be eliminated then?
On diabetes. Okay, so this is about diabetes, but what about it, Dr. Massetti?
Yeah, as far as the pancreas, if you there's nobody that's actually transplanting a whole pancreas that I know of. As I mentioned earlier, some of the islet cells that make insulin, I think there's work on transplantation of those cells. As far as a treatment for pancreatic cancer, it is not a currently promising treatment course. As Dr. LeConte mentioned, there's rare cases where a liver transplant, if somebody has disease isolated to the liver, but even that has not shown substantial promise. This tends to be a disease that spreads to multiple areas of the body, and so even somebody with an early stage pancreatic cancer, even if we remove their whole pancreas and give them, you know, the consequences of diabetes from that, they would be at very, very high risk of spread to other areas of the body. So without other treatment, it's not something that we do.
Yeah. So I want to go back to the clinical trials for a little bit, because if, you know, there are clinical trials and you can take a chance on a clinical trial, and that's kind of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, how does a family decide what they're going to do? I have some experience with this,
Yeah, we're very you know, as Dr. LeConte mentioned, we're very interested in clinical trials and exploring research, but usually what we would do is we would present the patients with our best evidence and the treatments that we know have the best effect first. And it's usually at the time point when we are without good options for patients that we would suggest potential clinical trials. Oftentimes we don't fully know the risks of those trials. There's early stage clinical trials called phase one trials that investigate that, just specifically the risks to patients. And then there's later stage trials once therapies have been proven to be safe to give or have a known side effect profile that have shown some encouraging evidence for effect that we investigate further. And so there's an array of clinical trial options. It's usually a discussion between the patient and their doctor and their families and what the goals of treatment are. There's some patients who are very interested in that, and other patients who, after learning about it, are not interested at all. So it's usually an informed discussion.
The benefits of a trial participation are that you might get access to a drug that you otherwise can't, a chemotherapy drug or a radiation technique, immune therapy. So that can be helpful in helping patients live longer, potentially. You also get a whole nother layer of support in that the research team is also following your condition and how you're doing in addition to your medical team. And then you help other pancreas cancer patients. Yeah. So if you look at the big recommendation documents for how to treat pancreas cancer, at the very top in bold, it always says, we always feel treatment on a trial is the optimal treatment for every patient. So we believe strongly that this is good treatment. We don't do placebo trials anymore. Everybody's getting active drugs, and it's how we move the science forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Claire in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Claire.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Oh, good. She said we might have had a bad connection. My herbalist managed to cleanse out my pancreas with golden seal root, which is a nature's antibiotic. My gallbladder was taken out by accident instead because it was my pancreas that was feeding the gallbladder from the hospital that removed it. I showed him the lab reports. I was very upset. I took this information to my herbalist. And the thing is with chemotherapy, it's quinine. It kills everything in the system. And I completely appreciate and respect science. But until you bring in the natural sources that are actually setting the body up to help the lymphatic system and things like that fight, I really believe that people need to go to greenmedinfo.com. I'm not supporting any of these or pay for any of these. And mercola.com, where people can get more information.
All right, well, comment, Dr. LeConte?
Yeah.
Thanks for calling, Claire.
Yeah, here's what we know. Many, many patients pursue this. Most do it with standard treatment in addition to herbal medications, or sometimes people call this alternative medications. We fully support that approach. We work with the team to make sure that you're not counteracting any of the chemotherapy or the other medications that we know are effective. I think we also have emerging data, and again, people can look on my Twitter feed. I've tweeted it a couple times, that patients who pursue strictly alternative medicine do worse. They have shorter survival. So I think be upfront with your team about what you want to do. Talk to your doctor. Find an open-minded doctor who will have that conversation with you. But I think pursuing alternative medicine alone in lieu of conventional therapy, we can't recommend.
So we have coming up a pancreas cancer awareness night at the Carbone Cancer Center. Can you talk about that? What's all going on?
Yep. So it's Thursday, November 2nd, and it's at the Sheridan on John Nolan here in Madison. Starts at 5:30, and then we have a presentation starting 6:30 to 8:30. It's just an informational night. Anyone can come. You don't have to have an association with Carbone. We're not asking for donations. It's just learn about pancreas cancer. We're trying to raise awareness. November, as you said, is Pancreas Cancer Awareness Month. We want people to know about this cancer because we don't have a lot of survivors, and we need other people to be educated about it and help raise people's awareness of the cancer and the treatments.
Yeah. So what's your long term? Are you optimistic? I mean, there have been some strides, as you say. You've been able to have an impact and improve the length of their lives.
Yes. I am optimistic. I wouldn't do this work if I wasn't. It's not an unbeatable problem. We need really smart people, really invested in the science. I believe that the solution will come from basic science, from labs, and eventually that will get translated into the clinic. I don't think there's something on the shelf right now that we just haven't explored. I think it needs to be a new discovery, but we will get there. And we are proving that we can move the needle right now. And the patients with pancreas cancer, Larry, as you know this, I mean, it's such a devastating diagnosis. Patients die so soon. They are just the most wonderful people in the whole world. And I've dedicated my whole professional life to them.
Yeah.
I think you have to be an optimist to treat this type of cancer. And I completely agree with Dr. LaConte that that this is a problem that arises because of specific changes in the cell. It's not a magic problem that just comes about because of stuff that is not explainable. So because of that, we've made strides in other cancers that have similar genetic explanations or environmental explanations for why they arise. And I think the same thing will happen in pancreas cancer. It just can't happen soon enough.
Yeah. So Thursday, November 2nd, Sheraton Madison Hotel on John Nolan Drive, reception at 5:30, and then a program and presentations from 6:30 to 8:30. So something great for people to take part in. Thank you so much for being with us today. Appreciate it very much. And I will say, at the UW hospitals and clinics, I had a fair amount of time there and with my friend and was able to observe the doctors and the nurses and staff, and they're just wonderful people who are involved in this, very caring and just wonderful people to work with.
Thanks. Yeah. Hey, Larry, if people can go to uwhealth.org/PCA night to register for the event, that will just help us make sure we have enough refreshments.
What is it again?
It's uwhealth.org/PCA night.
PCA night.
Yep.
All right.
Thanks.
Dr. Bassetti, Dr. LaConte, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it very much. Dr. Michael Bassetti, radiation oncologist at the UW Carbone Cancer Center. Dr. Noel LaConte, MD and a medical oncologist at the UW Carbone Cancer Center. they're doing some wonderful work, and I'm really happy to have had the chance to talk with them today. And I hope I learned some things, and I hope you did as well. Coming up, we're going to learn about some other things relating to our sleep with Dr. David Plant, next on the Ideas Network.